Welcome back to Sources from the Sofa. We have a special guest on today's NFL Lines. So, Lines with the Guys. Who doesn't like doing lines on a Thursday night? We definitely do. And we got a special guest, Sniper West. Welcome to the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It is a little bit late. We're on the West Coast and everything. But, you know, Thursday night football just ended. Very entertaining game. Arizona came back. They made it a game. It looked like they were dead in the water. It was funny, too, because McDonald, he came out at halftime and he said, we need to put our foot on the gas. We need to, you know, put our foot on their throat and end this game. And that's exactly what they did not do. Arizona came back. They made it a very interesting, entertaining game. I had the under cash by the hook, 43.5. And I had Seattle on the money line, a bunch of different places, too. So good night all around.
Nice, nice. Yeah, it was a pretty entertaining game. Honestly, I thought it was kind of boring until like the second half, and then all of a sudden, yeah, like all hell broke loose, and Kyler Murray.
There you go again.
you're back. It's 2024, Rome.
Kyler Murray. It was really fun. It's kind of seeing him escape from the pocket. Guy's tiny, man. You just see all these big guys swarming after him, but he's quick as hell. He has some nice throws. He just like showcased all his intangibles that you'd like to see in a starting quarterback. And
Darnold.
Drawing a blank, guys. Donald. Yeah. I'm getting these guys mixed up, but he had another wonderful game for Seattle, and they're looking pretty good to start the year.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple props too. I hit Murray over on his rushing yards. I had Benson under, which I haven't went back and looked at the stats, but I'm pretty sure he went under 60.5 was the number. I'm actually looking right now. I don't want to bore the audience.
I think he had 35 yards, so that was an easy winner.
And I had Darnold to beat Kyler Murray in passing yards. Murray had 200. Darnold had 242. So I won there. Only thing I lost on, and I won on the side, and the total only thing I lost on tonight was JSN, Smith and Jigba, to score a TD. He had 79 yards, so he went under because I think his total was 82 as far as yards for the game. But he did
so
not
do you
score.
Personally, how many bets do you place on a game typically?
I release a lot because I'm on so many different websites. So I had to do a show for Picks and Parlays today, and it was like a 10-minute show. They wanted a bunch of props, so I gave them out. And anything I give out, I want to bet. So I might not bet a lot of money on it. I might just go like $50 a game or a bet on each one of the props. But as far as, you know, premium stuff that I actually put out there and love, I love Seattle. And it was scary, too, because the public was on Seattle. They were on them big time, and typically I like to fade the public and not, you know, play on the side of the casino. But I was on them on Tuesday, put a pretty significant wager on them and that one. And then I'm in a syndicate group as well. So we all place bets together. We have a bankroll that a really rich guy that funds everything. And we keep 25% of the profits if we win. If we lose, we pay nothing. So it's no, you know, skin off our back. We won there. And so depending on, I mean, asking me how much I wager, just depending on that syndicate group and the stuff I put out, it's, you know, and the per game, I'd say at least like a couple grand.
Nice. If you want to share with us, maybe we can direct some people to go follow you on some of your platforms. Do you want to promote anything that you're on right now?
Yeah, Winnable is really the easiest way to find me. It's Winnable at the Sniper Picks. So the Sniper Picks, I'm Sniper West. I am on Picks and Parlays at a bunch of different websites as well, but you get a lot of bang for your buck at Winnable. So
nice.
You'll get your bang for your buck there.
Nice. Guys, you guys have any feedback on the Thursday night game?
I mean, you know, my typical stance on Thursday night games are generally pretty boring, Rome. You mentioned in the first half. The biggest thing for me, less about the game, was the online discourse of Marvin Harrison Jr.
Axe is going crazy.
His slow start, obviously, last year was not what everyone expected because he was going to be the next big thing coming out of college. He was the lock, you know, consensus best wide receiver in the draft a year and a half ago. Doesn't have a spectacular rookie season, really outshined by neighbors and even some other pieces. Now you're looking a couple, you know, games into his second season. You know, I was on Chicago, so we'll talk about the Bears obviously a ton on the Sniper West because that's all I talk about. But you know, my guy Roma Dunze, you know, last weekend he's had a terrific start to the year so far. And so I'm going to make this into a Bears take, Rome, as I always do, because there's plenty of the morons in Chicago that really wanted them to trade the Caleb Williams pick down to get Marvin Harrison, to have Marvin Harrison and Justin Fields be the pick of the Bears instead of having Rome and Caleb. So just want to throw that out there. But Marvin Harrison did redeem himself, I guess, in the second half by finally getting a touchdown here. But man, if you're looking at the first half combined with the drops he's had the first starts, a couple of games of the season, just not what you expected from a guy that was seen as a total lock. And hey, we're drafting a Hall of Fame wide receiver in Arizona.
They just don't look like they're on the same page.
Well, they got it together late there in the third quarter. Fourth quarter, he made some nice catches. That was a nice touchdown throw there, a corner route over Weatherspoon. And then he made a big catch there to get it down, and they got the tie before Seattle ended up winning that game. But, Arizona, kind of pretty consistent with what they've been all year. Not much on offense, good defense, and, got hot there towards the fourth quarter, made it a game. But that kick there, not landing in the landing zone, basically pinning the ball at the 40-yard line. Essentially, all you need is about 25 yards. They hit that on the first play, ran it, got where the kicker was comfortable kicking it, center field there, and boom, knocked it down. So Seattle, good win. I like Seattle in that game too. I like the under too. Got a little scary there, and looked like it was going to easily go on the under, but as Sniper West said, the hook came through. So take that under 43.5 to the bank.
You mentioned the landing zone, Aaron. We haven't talked about a ton about kicking, I think, on any of our podcasts, and we've had a ton of rule changes in the kickoff rule. I think this is a perfect, place where the landing zone comes into play. Your guys' thoughts on, as we've adjusted kicking and the really kind of hands them over to the game and almost puts them a first down away from field position for some of these kickers in the league, putting it at the 40-yard line. Aaron, Rome, Sniper West, what do you guys think just on that and what it's done for strategy around the game?
Yeah, what's funny? Well, first of all, I like to call it the landing strip. Don't ask me why. I just move, number one. Number two, it's funny, man. You would think that I would keep up just because I put a lot of money on these games and stuff. You'd think I would keep up with the rule changes over the offseason. I didn't even know about this until week one, until that actually started happening. I'm like, oh, really? They have to kick it between there? Yeah. So, and I'm sure a lot of other people didn't know that either, but it's obviously having a lot of effect on a lot of different games, hence tonight, right? And you get it at the 40. That's a big deal, man. And they only had, 28 seconds? And you have a timeout. That's all the time in the world these days. Plus, these kickers are kicking it from, 65? And that's on the reg now, too. So
that's crazy.
It's a big deal, getting it, these kickers, they need to figure out where to kick the ball.
Yeah, you got that landing zone rule that you mentioned, Jason. If you don't get it, inside the 20, it has to go between the end zone and the 20. And if you do kick a touchback, it goes to the 35, no longer the 30. So they did it. That's why they're, whatever, returns are up, 70% this year, because quote unquote teams are trying to do the more what they call dirty kicks, almost like a knuckleball coming off where it hits at the 10, kind of bounces to the 5, gives your coverage team a chance to get there and make the tackle inside the 30-yard line. So that was the whole point. They wanted to make some more entertaining, get more kick returns. Obviously, it's working. And they did a stat. I don't know off the top of my head, but teams that get the ball at the 35, 40-yard line on average score just below about 50% of the time, at least a field goal. I think that's what the numbers were. So that's why they're trying to get you to kick it, a little deeper, get inside that landing zone. So it definitely has an effect on the game. And kickers, another rule change that I didn't even know really till the start of the season was the kickball. Before the game, kickers could only use the kickball basically before the game kicked off to kind of shape it the way they can. Now they get all off season to shape the ball the way they want. That's why you're seeing the ball basically already kind of primed, ready for these kickers, and they're knocking 60, 65 yarders with regular ease now. It's just, that's the way the game's going.
Yeah, I asked a question because I had a conversation with some friends of mine around it, in this game specifically, what are thoughts of it. But I like it. It adds a ton more strategy to what you're doing in the kicking game, because especially the value of kickers you've seen. I was at a game last week with Chicago and Dallas where, Aubrey's in field goal range as soon as he steps out in the field, no matter where it's at. But at the same time, you got a guy like Moody with a leg in San Francisco, but has no accuracy. Now you need this person to be able to kick field goals, but also has a type of accuracy on the kickoff that could really swing the game in another direction. So really puts three phases of the football into play. So I think it's an interesting rule that really adds a ton more strategy to the special team side.
Interesting. Before we go into the lines, Wes, I'm looking at your calendar behind you. and I could have sworn it says Stocky 3, not just, Rocky 3.
Actually, yeah, it's Stocky. I can't see it here, but maybe you can see it. But yeah, it's first of all, it's the Dan Patrick Show. So I listen to it's Fritzy from the Dan Patrick Show. So they do a calendar every year, and he's doing his Rocky pose, and they call it Stocky instead of Rocky.
I love that.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of the DP Show.
Yeah.
DP is great, but the thing that caught my eye was the sports almanac behind there. So yeah. Wes obviously went back in time to get all those sports predictions between 1985 and 2015.
Well, here's what I will say. Yeah, I think it actually cuts off at 2000. That was in the movie.
Okay.
That was the deal. So it was 1955 to 2000. So if I would have been betting, you know, in 2000 or, you know, 1999, maybe I would have made money, but I started after that, unfortunately.
Awesome. Well, let's get to it then. Let's do some lines for week 4 in the NFL. First game. It's our first international game, I believe, of the year in Dublin, Ireland. We have the Vikings against the Steelers. Vikings favored by 2.5. Wes, go ahead and do the honors.
Sure. Yeah, no, so I love the Vikings here. I'm going to lay the 2.5. Are we at 2.5? Because I know your lines might be different than mine.
We're just going to go with the Circa Sports, but it could be different for you. Or updated on different sports.
I capped all these a couple days ago, so if my line's different, let me know. But I'm probably still going to like the play. But I like the Vikings minus 2.5 is what I have here. So first of all, obviously in Ireland, I get that. So a lot of Steelers fans and Vikings fans both travel. So it's hard to know who's really going to have home field advantage. This is a Steelers home game. But if you remember the Steelers, they did not play well that last week. They won the game, but the Patriots, they fumbled, I think it was either 2 or 3 times at the goal line. Drake May threw an interception at the goal line, and it ticked me off because I had the over in that game, and that was definitely going to go over. That game was for sure going to go over if they just scored 2 extra touchdowns, which they were right there at the 1-yard line 4 times, and they couldn't get in. So, first of all, Pittsburgh should have lost that game. Second of all, that game should have went over. In fact, Pittsburgh probably should have lost to the Jets, too. So, Pittsburgh's a little overrated, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers threw for 140 yards in that game.
Yeah.
They got outgained. The Vikings were impressive, and I guess, I mean, Carson Wentz, I get it. I mean, I don't know. He's not the best quarterback in the world. Cincinnati's defense is not all that great, too, so it's not all that impressive. But the Vikings are better on both sides of the ball. They're better offensively, better defensively. They both have to travel. It's not just one team. Also, too, the Vikings, this is the first of 2 games overseas. They're across the pond for this game, and they stay in Europe. I don't know if it's in Ireland next week, but they play the Browns next week. I think that might be in London.
Anyway, I think that one is in London. This one is in Dublin this week.
So this is the first of 2 overseas games, but I think this is the one they will be focused. They might lose focus the next game, but this is the one they're going to hone in on. And yeah, give me the Vikings minus 2.5 here. I love the Vikings.
All right, Aaron.
3. Vikings are one of my top plays on the board. I mean, Steelers have not looked great. They're not, you know, can't really protect Rodgers. They're not running the ball very well. As Wes just mentioned, their passing numbers are not very good. And they should have lost last week. I mean, May throws an interception in the end zone. Stevenson fumbles right there at the goal line. 5 turnovers, and you only win by 7 points. Rodgers hit DK for a nice hookup there late in that second half to get the victory. But outside of Boswell, he's the best thing going right now for the Steelers. This defense has not looked like elite like it has in years past. They look kind of old, a little slow. I think they do get Joey Porter Jr. back. But don't forget, the Vikings are also getting Jordan Addison back from his 3-game suspension. I think that's going to help their offense out. Jordan Mason in the run game. Minnesota is really, really dynamic on defense. I think they'll be too much for Rodgers and the Steelers. I like the Vikings minus 2.5.
Jason.
Going to make it a clean sweep. Don't want to disrespect your Steelers here, Rome, but you know, we know a Steelers game, you know, it's usually tight. You know, was it 11 to 13 or something like that? Your guy Mike Tomlin likes to play football games at, but they're not stopping anybody right now. As much as you want to hate on the Minnesota Vikings and where they're at, you know, Carson Wentz can get the job done. Aaron already mentioned Jordan Addison come back, and I think Mason, what we talked about in a little bit in the preseason predictions, that he was potentially going to unseat Jones as the starter, had a huge breakout game this last game. He had 2 touchdowns versus the Bengals, but the defense overall has been the story. They basically won the game versus the Bears, the Flores defense, Aaron, that's Aaron's guy, Brian Flores. He's going to be, you know, typing up I don't know if Aaron Rodgers got enough in him. You know, it all looked great that first week when he was moving around. It looked like we got Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago, but I think that was just the entire offseason of rest, and it's not going to happen again right now.
Yeah. I agree with all you guys said, but I'm sticking with my Steelers on this, so I'm not making a clean sweep. Steelers are due for a good game. They've already had, you know, you're right. They barely inked out by the Jets, back to back iffy games. They probably should have lost to the Pats, but I don't know. This is like a gut feeling here. I think the Steelers, the defense, they're still kind of feeling each other out. Metcalf, Rodgers still developing that connection. They kind of got the run game in like parts and pieces in every game, but not a complete game yet. I feel like they're just kind of due. I think Ireland will be a nice place to do that. It's very scenic, very Roger-esque if you've ever been to Ireland. I don't know who's going to be drinking. I think the younger guys on the Vikings will be drinking more on this trip. So I'm taking the Steelers with the points and praying to God that I cover.
You think the Steelers are just a bunch of big Guinness guys? They're just going to be going over there?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next game.
They probably try. When do they fly? Do they fly on Friday and land Saturday and play Sunday? I'm not.
They're probably there already.
Yeah. I think overseas games, they generally fly there, I think, right after the previous game.
Well, acclimated. Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Probably right. a Tuesday at the latest. I would think they're already over there.
So maybe. Is it about an 8-10 hour flight to Dublin?
Yeah.
About. Probably. Yeah.
It's, but for Pittsburgh, it's a little bit closer because it's 10 hours to England from LAX. So yeah. I think it's a little bit closer. Not as.
But you guys know my rules, though. Stayaways always on international games. Weird stuff happens. That's why I'm also taking the Steelers. It just breaks conventional wisdom on every single game.
Rodgers has never won an international game, too. So
there we go. So all the rules are thrown out the window for international games, thus me going for the Steelers. Next game, Eagles -3.5 over the Buccaneers, over under 43.5. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, this one, I'm going to say stay away from this one, but I think it looks a little more. Instinctively, I want to go with the Eagles right away, but then the Buccaneers got this fourth quarter magic of nonsense that just comes back and makes this a 1-point game at the end. And the Eagles last week pretty much were on the verge of losing and got, you know, one of the great covers of the last couple of years that we've been watching on a blocked field goal going the other way. So the Eagles still class of the NFC. I don't think there's much arguing that so far with what we've seen after, especially the big loss that the Green Bay had last week. It's a game that I'm not feeling comfortable with, but I do think the Eagles are still much better for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay down Evans, but potentially getting Godwin back. But I'll take the Eagles -3.5.
Aaron.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to take the Bucs here at home, getting the 3.5. I mean, they're getting Tristan Wirfs back on that offensive line. That's a big, big upgrade there, given all the injuries they've had. Mike Evans will be out, but Godwin, questionable, maybe a game-time decision. We'll see there. But you can run the ball in Philadelphia, as we saw that the Rams were able to do last week. And that's one thing I do like about this Bucky Irving Tampa team. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. In the Eagles, traditionally, this group has not played well in Tampa. They've gotten beat the last, I believe, 3 times they've traveled out there. I think Baker and the boys keep it close. I mean, the score is not indicative of how bad they were beaten on the Jets last week. I think Tampa keeps it close. I think Tampa wins a close, close game as well. I'll take the 3.5 here. Give me the Bucks.
Sniper.
Yeah, I'm in on the Bucks too. So yeah, Tristan Wirfs is a big deal. Chris Godwin coming back, big deal. Losing Mike Evans, that's not very good for them.
That's tough.
But here's the deal. So my thoughts on this game, it's very simple. The Eagles are 3-0. They can easily be 0-3. The Bucks are 3-0. They can easily be 0-3, right? All 6 of those games between those two teams have come down to a field goal. So why not take the 3.5 and put them in your back pocket? It's just real simple math for me. I think it's probably going to come down to a field goal again. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, he struggled versus Tampa in his career. So it's just a real simple handicap. I think it's a close game. So give me the Bucks plus the points.
Wow. Took everything I wanted to say. Nice sniper, Wes. I'm going with the Bucks. Magic has to end sometime for the Eagles. They won some pretty tough games. Same thing for the Bucks. I just like the piece that the Bucks are getting back, everything that you guys have said. And Eagles have just had, I think, more of an up and down season so far as in terms of production, whether again their passing game going. It's been still shaky, what Jalen Hurts, although he's been winning, he's had what, only two good quarters in the first three games. I'm going to stick with possibly the more respected or the most respected quarterback or disrespected quarterback in Mayfield. Bucks, I like that call though. Everything by a field goal. Why not take the points? You're going, anyone going over under on this one? Is this going to be ugly or is this going to be a shootout? Because both options are on the table.
I would go under before over, but I'd probably pass on the total.
Yeah. All right. Saints and Bills. Wow. Bills favored by 15.5. Over under is 48. Aaron.
Yeah, it's a lot of points. Rome definitely wouldn't be on my big board to bet this game, but Saints are just a bad football team. Let's just be honest. They're bad. I mean, they got destroyed in Seattle on the road. Now they go to Buffalo. I consider Buffalo basically the East Coast version of Seattle. Rowdy fans, but guess what? Buffalo's better than Seattle. Buffalo can cruise their way to a victory here. They're going to win this game. I don't see them losing here. 15.5, that's sneaky. Will the Saints be able to backdoor cover? I'm going to go out and just say Buffalo wins this game and covers. I'll lay the 15.5. Wow. And I think Buffalo by themselves is good for 41 points, probably alone in this game. So you might want to lean towards playing the over as well, but yeah, I'll say Buffalo 15.5.
Wes, go ahead.
Yeah. I really wish I did not have to pick this game because I have no idea what's going to happen. Buffalo, if they wanted to, they can name the score. If you tell them we are going to take your firstborn kid, if you do not win this game by 30, they would win it by 40. Okay. But do they care? I don't think they care. The Saints, are they going to, they look terrible in Seattle. That was the worst football performance I've ever seen. It was so bad. Special teams, defense, offense, it was so bad. So gun to my head here. So, well, first of all, New Orleans, they've scored 13, 21, and 13. Okay, those have been their three totals. So are the Bills really going to score more than 30 here? I don't know. They probably will. I'll just roll the dice. I'll take the Bills. I'll lay it with the – I can't get behind the Saints. They were just so bad. But this is by far and away the game I hate the most on this card.
All good. Jason.
Yep, clean sleep from all of us. I would definitely stay away from it if you were a betting man on this game. But it's hard to say what the Bills would be able to do to this team if they're all in it. I mean, it could be over by three quarters, and then as Wes and Aaron are saying, like, do they just back it off? We got Mitch Trubisky in there in the fourth quarter, and you know, if he throws a turnover and you get a backdoor cover. But season preview, the Saints are bad. They may have shocked us in week one being more competitive than we thought they were. But I mean, Alvin Kamara, I think, is in trade rumors right now that going out there, and there's other stuff within the Saints. They're going to be going for the first overall pick. I don't know how much you like here. The Bills, a tough bet, but I'll take them too.
Yeah. This is really tough, man. 15.5 in years past, these type of spreads don't end very well. I'm afraid of the Bills just like doing enough to win, and they win by two touchdowns, not anything more. But if they were like the Detroit Lions, if they had like that other mentality, they just want to destroy it by as many points as possible. If this was Detroit, I would probably take it. The Bills, I'm not sure if they ever done this to an opponent where they just continue piling it on until there's no mercy. Bills win, obviously, but I'm kind of tempted to take the Saints with the points. I think it will stay within two scores. But I'm reluctantly going to take the Bills. This one's really tricky. Next one, Panthers at the Patriots. Pats favored by 5.5, over under 43. Jason, who do you got?
I don't like this game either. I'm going to be honest with you, Rome. Like, I don't like either of these teams. The Panthers, I don't know what I'm going to get week to week. You know, when it comes to them, the Patriots feel like it's going to be close, but turning over the ball, what, they have 4 or 5 fumbles last week or something like that, the Patriots had. Feels like a thing that you wouldn't get typically from a Mike Vrabel team where we're not turning over the ball, we're playing things tight. 5.5 is a lot of points for the Patriots right now, what they're looking for offensively. I would reluctantly take the Panthers plus 5.5.
Ooh, wow. All right. Aaron.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to go Panthers here plus 5.5. I mean, they're coming off that surprising, shocking 30-0 win over the Atlanta Falcons last week. But like Jason said, the Patriots have not looked great offensively. They've turned the ball over a ton. They're not good enough for me to be personally favored by 5.5 points. Carolina's not looked that bad. in the last really six quarters. The first six quarters, not so good, but they rallied in the second half against Arizona, made that a game, dominated Atlanta. I feel like this is a close game. I'll take the 5.5 points on the road and take Carolina.
Wes.
So I have I have one play on this game. It's on the total. I will give you an ATS too, but I'm on the over on this game. That's my favorite play on this game. It is a premium play. I like it a lot. So first of all, like I said earlier, and like everybody's mentioned, the Patriots, they had all those turnovers at the one. The Patriots would have scored a lot of points last week if that didn't happen. This total would be a lot higher if that hadn't happened. The Patriots would probably be favored by a touchdown here if that had not happened. So I think the Patriots are going to take care of the ball a little bit better because I think Vrabel's going to be in their ear all week. The Panthers, the one thing that I'm kind of scared about with the Panthers is they could have a gigantic letdown, because when's the last time a Bryce Young team has beaten another team by, 30 points? It's never happened, right? So they could have a gigantic letdown here, but I am going to take the over 43. Okay, that's my number one play, but for purposes of the show and I guess the spread, I am going to take the Panthers just because I think they'll be an active dog. Because I think it's going to go over, I think the Panthers are going to score a lot, meaning the Patriots are going to have to keep up. And I think it's just going to be a high-scoring game. So over is my first play, but for the spread, I will take the Panthers plus the points.
Nice. All valid points from everyone here. The guys that fumbled the ball, they're not going to get a lot of touches this week. And their backup running back, he did pretty well. I think he's going to be the main ball carrier. I can't remember his name. It's just leaving the top of my head.
Ramondre, one of them.
Stevenson. Drake May, not the greatest game. And he hasn't put back-to-back, iffy games so far in his short-lived career. He's looking pretty solid. I think this will be a bounce-back week for the Pats. 5.5 is pretty tricky, though. I kind of got them winning either by 4 or 7 points. It's right in the middle. Panthers looked really good last week. I just think the Patriots, maybe it's week 4. This is where, some of the teams just started showing. So far, the first 3 weeks, it's preseason. I think this is where we started seeing some of the work start coming through. I'm going to take the Pats to go against you guys to cover the 5.5. They win, but it's a tough win, barely inking out 6 or 7 points. We'll see how it goes. Next morning game, Commanders and Falcons. Commanders favored by 1 point. Over under is 45.5. Wes, go ahead and go first.
So obviously Jaden Daniels, I still think he's not going to play. I don't know if you guys have heard anything new. As of this morning, I heard he's still not playing, which the line reflects that. So this line movement, first of all, has been crazy. The Falcons opened at +2.5. They went down to -1 yesterday. So that's a field goal line move. Then today they came back to +1.5. I think that's where it is now. But all that is because the Jaden Daniels news, right? So Mariota did play well, though. But here's the deal. Atlanta got embarrassed. Nothing will motivate a team in the NFL more than embarrassment. And obviously Penix was benched late for Cousins, but I just think they didn't want to have him lose any more confidence, right? But I think they're going to bounce back. I think Atlanta's going to play quite well here. Remember the Commanders, they actually play the Chargers week 5. They go to LA to play the Chargers. So I kind of think Dan Quinn wants Daniels to rest up for that game because the Chargers could be 4-0. And, that's a showdown, in LA. And also Terry McLaurin could be hurt too as well. I just think the Falcons bounce back here. I think the Commanders have a letdown, and the line's kind of telling me what's going on here. So I like the Falcons on the money line here. But I guess if I have to take the plus whatever it is, 1.5 for the spread, I'll do that. But I like them to win outright, to be honest.
Got it. Aaron?
I agree with all those points. I mean, I think this line reflects Jaden Daniels isn't going to play. I mean, he's been practicing, light practice, but basically saying he's going to leave it up to the doctors. The doctors, I don't think, are giving him the A-OK. They're going to be about their best wide receiver. And this defense hasn't been great. We saw that Thursday night game against, Green Bay. Green Bay had, 2 drives of 90-plus yards for touchdowns. And as Wes mentioned, Atlanta got embarrassed. I mean, they got shut out against Carolina. Carolina's not world beaters by any measures. I think Penix, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, all those guys bounce back in a big way. Atlanta's got a good defense. They're quick and athletic. Mariota, if you put a good quick defense against him, he is turnover prone. I like Atlanta too here to win outright as well.
Again, I'll make it a consensus. I know there's no team that we kind of hate more around here is the Atlanta Falcons, because if we're all on them, means they're probably going to in for a letdown, because who knows what's going to happen at this point. My guy, Kyle Pitts, he might make an appearance. He might not make an appearance. I don't know if it's him. Hey, we got this great running back, but he just disappears for whatever reason. Penix hasn't won a game where the opponent doesn't score more than like 6 points or something in his 6 starts so far. So, and this is the Dan Quinn revenge game too, going back to Atlanta, you know, underneath there. But I think without Jaden Daniels, without Terry McLaurin, I think you're missing something there, definitely from this Commanders team. And we start to ask a little more of the questions from the Commanders. Last season, they were everyone's hype train, and Jaden Daniels is the greatest thing, and all this, and we're getting to the championship game. He's not as good as Caleb Williams right now, Rome. That's right, because yeah. Caleb Williams is statistically the best year two quarterback right now this year. So, yeah. But him out, I don't think there's much of a chance. So I'll go with Atlanta.
Wes, in case you couldn't pick it up, Jason will take any opportunity to bag on any quarterback that was also in the same draft as Caleb Williams. So we'll probably get a few more of those.
Bo Nix, I'm coming for you next.
Falcons, I picked them up in my fantasy league for defense, and they let me down last week. They showed so much promise the week prior, just swarming after a really flustered McCarthy on the Vikings. I think they'll do that again. Mariota already had a big win. He hasn't had back-to-back big wins in a long time. I think he's a good backup quarterback, probably one of the better ones in the league, but to do this twice, and it's going to be loud and crazy in Atlanta. They have beers for $3, nachos for $1.50. It's going to be a wild scene out there. Everyone's going to be rocking their Michael Vick jerseys, their Penix jerseys, and it's going to be a party. I think they're going to win big. It's going to be a bounce back week, as you guys have mentioned. I got the Falcons winning.
What about Matt Ryan jerseys, Rome? You didn't mention him at all.
Yeah, well, he blew a Super Bowl that he should have won, so I don't know.
Quick question. Sorry to cut you off, Jason. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
It's so close, man. Like, him and Rivers, I think, were like the best quarterbacks that just never got it done. Yeah, like, they were great. And I would put them over quarterbacks that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I got Rivers above Russell Wilson.
I would have Rivers over Matt Ryan. I mean, because Matt Ryan, towards the end, he had some really bad, rough years there. I mean, he was the last quarterback to take the Colts to the playoffs. Without him, they've been a mess.
He was so good.
Luck left. Matt Ryan, you could flip a coin, man. I think you could flip a coin on him, whether or not he gets in or not. I wouldn't be mad either way, to tell you the truth.
What do you think?
It's funny because Eli's going in, but he's going in because he's a Manning and he got 2 Super Bowls. But Ryan's stats are way better than his. River's stats are way better than his by far. It's not even close. Another quick thing, and this is from the DP show too. I'll give him kudos. Is Russell Wilson playing his way out of the Hall of Fame? I think he could be. He's probably a Hall of Famer if he just like retired after the Broncos. It's becoming rather embarrassing. And also too, so Russell Wilson was great the beginning part of his career. Matt Stafford, you know, he had great numbers in Detroit, but he didn't really get it done until the end of his career. So what if their careers were flipped? What if Matt Stafford had great success early and Russell Wilson had great success late? Yeah, you know, it's just these Hall of Fame arguments are so funny.
I did hear that.
It depends on where you get drafted, you know? Like, I feel sorry for Jackson Dart. If he goes to, you know, really good offensive coordinator, who knows? I mean, maybe he'll be good, but it's really like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones could have been a really freaking good NFL quarterback if he went to the right system. He went to the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, it's looking good on the Niners as a backup. He might get another week this week. We'll see.
Was it? Well, since he heard that on the Dan Patrick show, I'm going to give the actual credit to the real person who had that take first, and that's Stu Gotts from the Dan Le Batard show.
Okay.
They
are good friends, so that could have happened.
They are. But he said that 3 years ago when he was on the Broncos that he was playing himself out of the Hall of Fame
Dan stole it then.
Well, Dan stole it from there, but then Tony Gonzalez stole that take tonight on the Amazon Prime broadcast because he's out there too. So everyone's stealing the same recycle take, but that's just how bad Russell Wilson is playing right now.
Yeah, I never liked Russell Wilson. That's why I named my dog Westbrook instead of Russell. I just couldn't look at him the same way. And I've always liked Stafford. I liked him on Detroit. I was probably one of the few people that were watching him when they were winning and losing. going 500 and just wondering how can they couldn't do more. Let's do next game. Browns at the Lions. Lions here by 9.5, over under 44.5. Jason, you go first.
It's tough. If you'd asked me a week ago, man, I would have said the Lions in a heartbeat. The Browns, man, you're giving a lot of look on that, Rome. I don't know. The Browns are just a weird team, man. I mean, there's a lot of these teams out there. Like how they're we crown the Packers after 2 weeks of just out there, and then they come out and the Browns able to go there. I still think Dan Campbell's trying to prove something with this team right now, too. So it's a lot of points, but I'll take the Lions nine. I'll take the Lions minus 9.5.
Wow. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna go with the Lions minus 9.5 here. I mean, the Browns, let's be honest, what they were down 10-0, should have lost realistically 10-0 in that game. They didn't score for what 56 minutes against Green Bay at home. The week before they got beat, what 41-17 by Baltimore. So I mean, if they're going against another good offense here that can score Detroit, that means they're going to be dropping back, throwing the ball. Aiden Hutchinson's going to be getting after the quarterback. They just had 7 sacks on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Browns haven't done anything offensively. They only scored 16 points against a bad Bengals defense. So, what do they got? 16, 17, and 13 points in the first 3 games. I think the Lions could easily get to 30. And even a 30-20, they got to cover here. So, I'll take the Lions. I mean, the strength of the Cleveland Browns defense is the strength of the offensive line for the Lions as well. They'll be able to, I think, be able to protect Goff. They can run the ball well. And the defense, I think, gets a few turnovers, maybe strip sacks here, and it gets the cover. So I'll take the Lions minus 9.5.
Nice. Wes.
So my favorite play here, actually, I kind of don't like this game, to be honest. It's probably a stay away for me, but I'll give you my thoughts here. My first thought is the under. And by the way, the total is 44. I just looked at Bet Online. Nice. But so do the Lions have a letdown after that Ravens win? Very emotional win, right? But this Browns defense, they're probably the best defense in the NFL. They only give up 205 yards per game. And I know, well, the Packers actually, they have a pretty good offense. And they play the Ravens too, who have a good offense. And they're still only giving up 205 yards per game. So that's pretty impressive. So if this total's 44, okay, which it is right now, that's like, let's say it's 30-14. That's what odds makers kind of think, right? Lions 30, Browns 14. So that's 44 points, right? Do the Lions really put up 30? And I don't think they do against this defense. And do the Browns even really put up 14? Because this Lions defense, they looked good in the second half against Baltimore. They didn't look good the first half. They looked good the second half. They got after Lamar. And the game just kind of screams under to me. I like the under 44. That's my first lean. My second lean is going to be Detroit just because here's my angle on the side. The Browns beat the Packers outright. The Packers beat the Lions outright. Therefore, the Lions want to destroy the team that just beat the team that beat them in week one. So I'm going to take the Lions minus 10.
Nice. Yeah, this one's pretty tricky. Browns, best defense out there. Lions have a pretty good defense as well, and they're getting healthy from last year. I think the Lions, this can go either two ways. The Lions are just scoring at will. They're getting turnovers, and they're scoring on defense as well. This game, they're up by 30, 40 points. That gives the Browns a chance to kind of air it out, get some points out there, and they barely cover, or it's just too big of a gap. I'm reluctantly taking the Lions, but this kind of scares me a little bit. I think the Browns could keep it competitive just because their defense is so good. Maybe they do kind of keep the Lions a little bit more down to earth, but Lions are just too good to lose this game at home. It's not going to happen. So, tough one. Next game, how many more morning games? We have 2 more morning games to go. Titans at the Texans. Texans favored by 7 points, which to me seems like a lot for two struggling teams. Over under 38.5. That is low. Wes, we'll let you go first on this one.
First of all, this probably will be my survivor pick. I don't know if you guys are. I think you guys are doing survivor, right? That's why we're
Aaron is.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. It'll probably be my survivor pick just because there's no other time to take the Texans. If you're going to take the Texans at all during the year, you take them now. Obviously, 2-0-3 teams. Houston is terrible. Why are they terrible? Their offensive line is terrible. They can't run the ball, and they cannot protect the quarterback. If you gave Josh Allen this Houston Texans offensive line and this Texans run game, he would not be very good. therefore CJ Stroud is not very good. And he's taken a lot of heat in the press, and I don't think it's very fair, to be honest with you. They just haven't put enough weapons and enough, you know, good offensive line in front of him. Losing Tank Dell really hurt them. Also, too, Brian Callahan, the Titans head coach, he relinquished the play calling duties to Bo Hardigree, so he is not calling plays anymore. I'm not a big fan of Callahan. I like the Texans here. I think it's a get right spot. Obviously, they can't go down 0-4. And no. I think the Titans are just really bad. I don't even know who's worse, the Titans or the Saints. At least the Titans can play a little bit of defense. But I'll take the Texans here, -7 over the Titans.
To answer that question, I think the Saints at least have the better coaching staff. So
Could be.
Yeah. Jason.
Yeah, another one of those games. Don't think of the Titans at this point. I think Cam Ward is going to need a lot of help around him. But Wes really hit on the head with the Texans offensive line and what's the support that this, that Stroud's going to be able to get. They play just a ton of just close games. 7 points is a lot of points for me to a team that can't protect the quarterback. I'm going to take the Titans +7.
Wow. Aaron.
7 points is a lot. But I'm going to take the Texans here. I mean, if you're going to take survivors Texans, this is probably the best spot to get them. Can't afford to go 0-4, given that they're already 3 games back in the division.
We said that last week, too. They couldn't afford to go 0-3.
Yeah, and I mean, but, you know, they were on the road. Jacksonville's a better team than the Titans. You know, the Texans, finally somebody stands up and supports, you know, no O-line, no running game. I think CJ Stroud's a really, really good quarterback. If you got him some weapons to go with what he's got, he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL. He just doesn't have anybody really around him to work with. I think Nico Collins, if he didn't fumble, I think they would have beaten Jacksonville last week. That fumble really cost him because then Jacksonville went down and got the game-winning score. Brian Callahan, he's terrible. I mean, he doesn't know what he's doing. He gives up play-calling duties. We've seen how that works for other teams. The offense actually seems to get worse. Sometimes they come out and put up an inspiring effort. But that Texas defense is still really, really good. I mean, they are 0-3, but they're really close to being 3-0. A fumble going in to score against the Rams. A fumble going in to score there. Baker Mayfield, 4th-and-10, escapes and gets a victory there on Monday night.
Yeah.
I like the Texans here, -7. If there's ever a spot to take them this high in the spread, this is it. The line is screaming, take Tennessee, but I'm not going to fall for the bait. Give me the Texans.
Wow. Nice. I'll just make it a clean sweep. It's do or die for Texans. And I think now their coach is going to be a little bit under fire if they lose this one. He may be on my hot seat. I liked him out of San Francisco. I liked him as a coach and what he's done, at least in the initial first year. But if they don't win this, the seats can get really hot in Texas. And you know how they like to churn through coaches over down there. Last game in the morning, we have Chargers and Giants. Chargers -6.5 favorites in the Big Apple, 43.5 over under. Aaron, who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are making the switch to Jackson Dart, rookie quarterback out of Ole Miss, making his debut at home against a really, really good, talented Chargers defense. It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot here to go against these guys. I mean, the Giants, week one and last week, have not done anything on offense. Now you're going out here against a good team. I mean, traditionally, teams traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, morning games have not fared well. That's just been an NFL trend for the last past couple decades. But rookie quarterbacks don't trend well either, and you're going against a defense that can cause turnovers. They're going to play a lot of zones, a lot of matchup schemes. They're going to try to confuse the quarterback, and the Chargers have a good run defense, so they're going to eliminate that side of the ball. And if the Chargers offensive line, which is a little bit banged up, can protect Herbert, the Giants secondary is really bad. I mean, no name wide receivers from Kansas City were making big plays. I like the Chargers here to win, and I'll take them -6.5 to cover as well.
Wow. Wes.
It's a terrible, I'm not mad at taking the Chargers. First of all, my favorite play is the over in this game. I'm not mad at taking the Chargers against the spread though. But I'm actually going to take the Giants against the spread. I think it's 6.5 still. But my favorite play, first of all, let me argue for the over, okay? So it's 43.5. I think there's going to be a lot of points here. I think Jackson Dart actually plays well. I think Dable dials up a pretty good game plan here. He's been studying the playbook. He's been on the sidelines waiting for his chance. And I think he actually does well here, which is why I think the Giants can actually cover this game. It's the spot for the Chargers is so bad. They've been to Brazil and back. They've been on the road. Yes, they did beat Denver, but that was an emotional win. Now they have to go across country and play. And then they have to go back home and play the Commanders, which is a huge game too. So they're in a look ahead. They're on a letdown. It's just kind of a spot. It's a flat spot. And I know Jim Harbaugh. I love Jim Harbaugh. Great head coach. Maybe he doesn't let his team let down. But if any team in their position, if they did not have a strong head coach, they probably have a big letdown here. Therefore, yeah. I'm going to take the Giants and the points here. But I really love the over because I think the Chargers are going to do what they do. I mean, they put up 27, 20, and 23 in their three games. So you know what they're going to get. There's no Najee Harris. I get that. Omarion Hampton, though, he carried the ball 19 times, and I think they'll get him involved. I love the over. That's my first play. For purposes of the show and ATS, I will take the Giants, which, you know, according to BetOnline right now is 6.5.
Still. Yep.
I'll take the Giants plus 6.5. It's an ugly play. And I understand taking the Chargers. I actually kind of want to take the Chargers, but just it's such a bad spot for them. I got to take the Giants.
I agree with everything Wes is saying. I mean, look, I think Dart could play well, but, you know, I'm going back. Like I said, the Chargers defensively really good. And I think the X factor for me is Harbaugh isn't going to let these guys sleep on their morale. I think the Chargers want to be one of those teams that takes that next step. That next step is just blowing out the Giants. Now, I don't think they're going to blow them out, but I think they'll be focused. I think they'll be up for this game. And Herbert right now is playing on another level, and this offense is playing well. This defense is really good. But you can get some shots over the top against these Chargers. Bo Nix missed some chances there. You know Neighbors and Dart. I think Dable can throw up a good game. Could go either way. I'm just going to take the veteran coach, the veteran team that's been there over the rookie quarterback.
Jason.
Yeah, really tough line is everything these guys have said. I wouldn't want to play it, but I'm going to agree with Aaron and Wes. I'm sorry, Aaron, because Wes took the Giants, right? So half asleep there, but Aaron, I like the Chargers play. It goes against everything I think about the West Coast, the East Coast. Wes brought up a great point of how much going from Brazil and everything the Chargers have. But my simple reason for this, I know Aaron and Rome, you like them, but to me, Brian Daboll, he's in survivor mode right now. You're making a move that's wrong. This guy should not, Jackson Dart should not be starting. You have Jameis Winston sitting third in the depth chart. If you're making the move from Russell Wilson, you put Winston in. So now you're putting Jackson Dart against a really good Chargers defense. That's just going to tee off him. It's just a bad move from a desperate head coach that, you know, this is what Matt Eberflus or one of these other guys that would do right now that's grasping for his life that's going to get fired. You start 0-3 and you've done nothing as a head coach. Your entire resume is built on being offensive coordinator for Josh Allen. Now this is just, Harbaugh is going to come in and crush them at this point. And so that's why I take that.
This would be a stay away for me. I just feel like if there's a letdown in the Chargers schedule, this might be it. Dart, everyone likes him. There's a lot of good publicity coming out of Giants camp about it. But I agree with you, Jason. Jameis should be the starting quarterback this weekend. Hot seat is so hot right now. I don't think he knows how hot he is. He is baking up like a pile of turkey legs and bacon bits and a pot of collard greens, man. It is getting hot over there. Chargers, though, the defense is ascending right now. One of the best in the league. I just find it hard to believe that they're going to lose this game with a rookie quarterback under these circumstances. I do like the over, though. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a lot of points here. I think Herbert, you know, aside from week one, he hasn't really aired it out a lot, and racked up the points. I think this is where he does it in the Meadowlands and shows out and makes a play for the MVP this weekend. So 6.5's a lot, but I do think they win at least by 7 or 10 points on this game. Chargers. All right. How are you guys feeling?
Feel great. Let's roll.
The afternoon. Just roll to the afternoon games?
Hell yeah.
We're going to the afternoon games, Rome. This is where USA the stats is where I get hot right now. So this is my
Jason's been on fire for afternoon games. He's been like lights out, man.
Nice.
Can't say so much in the morning games. So
that's where you make all your money back from the morning.
That's what Jason's been doing, dude. That's hilarious. All right. Afternoon games at 1:05 Pacific time. The Jags are visiting the Santa Clara 49ers, favored by 3.5 points, over under 47. That was a jab at the 49ers, in case you guys didn't catch that. Aaron, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Jaguars coming in here to the 49ers. Big loss for the 49ers, losing Nick Bosa to an ACL tear. You know, they've got their defense had been relatively healthy. Their offense, obviously, with Kittle, Jennings, and all those guys being out is, you know, I haven't heard, is Brock Purdy going to play quarterback in this game? Does anybody know?
So Brock, like 80, 90% he's going to play.
Yeah. So I figured he was close last week. I figured he'd play this week because I know, I think Mac Jones suffered, what, a PCL sprain or tear. So he's kind of banged up. I'm going to go Jacksonville here. I think Jacksonville can go in here and win this game outright. I think they got the run game going there. They've got a good athletic defense. 3.5 points right now, I think, is a little too much for the 49ers to cover. They just beat a bad Arizona team, you know, by the stroke of God's hand. And, you know, they didn't look great against the Saints. Brock Purdy threw up a Hail Mary, begged for that touchdown catch against Seattle. I like Jacksonville to cover, and I like him actually to go into Santa Clara and get the win outright. So give me the Jaguars plus 3.5.
Wow. Wes.
That's a pretty bold take, and I will tell you what. I'm going to give you the most meaningless stat of all time. The Jags have been around. I think they came in the league with the Panthers in 1993. I'm older than all you guys. I'm 44. You guys are probably all younger than me. But I remember when they came in with the Panthers. In fact, they made the Panthers and the Jags made the NFC and AFC championship games, both of them, in their second year of existence, which was crazy, in 1994.
I remember that Tom Coughlin back when.
I remember that.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah, and Dom Capers. Yeah. So maybe it was 95 when they came in. Anyway, but here's your stat. Stat of the day, like Stu Gotts and Dan Patrick do, right?
Stat of the day.
Cuban music.
The
Jacksonville Jaguars have never in their franchise history won in the state of California.
Wow.
Da-da-da.
A great stat.
There's your stat. But that being said, I'm going to take the Jags here. I agree with Aaron. I think they cover here. I think they play well. So they're 2-1, and yeah, I know they haven't played anybody. They played the Texans and the Panthers and the Bengals. The Bengals, you know, aren't very good either. But Jacksonville, they put up 356 yards a game. The Niners put up 361, 19 points per game. And yes, Purdy is coming back, but the Jags just have to get going. Brian Thomas Jr., he's Mr. Butterfingers. He keeps dropping passes. I think he kind of fixes that this week. Travis Hunter needs to get involved more. I know he had a nice reception and run after catch last week. I think they're going to kind of put it together this week. And I think the Niners do quite well too. My favorite play actually is the over. I love the over 47. This total opened at like 44, 45. It shot up to 47. There is sharp money all over the over here. No pun intended. Love the over. That's my favorite play. But I am going to take the Jags. Anytime I take an over, I always lean toward the dog because of what I said earlier. I think the dog will be active. They will score a lot of points. Therefore, the favorite will have to keep up with the dog. Therefore, the total goes over. So over is my first lean, but I'll take the Jags plus the points.
Interesting. That's an interesting tip to take for the bettors that listen to the show. Jason.
Yeah, you don't get too many clean sweeps picking the Jaguars, especially where a team led on offense by my guy Shane Waldron, who just, you know, comes to a team and lets a number one wide receiver die like he did with Jackson Smith-Njigba, like he did with Roma Dunze, and now he's doing to Brian Thomas right now because just taking over. But through all that said, the Niners are just got this – I have a feeling – they're just going to be like a 12-win team that like has like these 1-point wins. It's going to be like the Vikings of last season. Play this bad schedule, a bunch of crap teams. They get 12 wins, but it's one. The Jags, I think, could win this game outright, but I just think 3.5 points is probably too much for a Niners team that lost Bosa. You know, you get a banged up Purdy potentially. I think Ricky Pearsall is like questionable in this game too. So you're banking on McCaffrey right now to save you in a game against a Jags team that has, you know, kept things close and has the ability to score. I think potentially a big game from ETN on this on the Jaguars side as the run game continues to get better under Liam Cohen. So I'll take the Jags plus 3.5 as well.
I'm going against all you guys. This would be Homer. A stay away from me. I have not liked how the 49ers have looked in any game so far. Yeah, Purdy comes back. He's looked pretty mediocre, and he has to justify that big contract. McCaffrey, surprisingly, has looked pretty decent, and they got other wide receivers involved in the game. Mac Jones did pretty well in relief. Although they are 3-0, Niners are due for a bounce-back game. I think this is when it comes in. They're at home for the second week in a row. It's going to be hot. If you don't know, 49er fans are some of the rowdiest fans in the NFL. They're disgusting. They'll fight you in the stands. And Jags, I'm just not up on the Jags and their new coach and all that new stuff as much as you guys are. They're flying back to the sunny side, to the West Coast. It's going to be really beautiful weather out here. They're going to be distracted by all the pretty girls, all the sunshine, women, weed, and weather. I'm taking the 49ers to finally put up a really big win this week. They're going to upset, if you can upset as a favorite, but I got them winning this one.
You know they're traveling to Northern California, right? They're not coming to Southern California.
Well, you got it's the nice. You got the weed part right.
Santa Clara is like Southern California. It's really nice.
Except it's freezing. I don't know what's the sunshine over there. Like it's gonna be it's gonna be overcast.
Going from Jacksonville to Santa Clara, I think it's a nice little comfy trip for the Jags here. Now, the weather's
once
be
you pass
good.
San Francisco Bay, it is hot. Like it is hot like Southern California, and it's really nice. The breeze is gonna be nice, and that stadium sucks. It's like a microwave. It's a tin can. They're gonna be hot.
That's fair. I like the guy that's a Dodgers fan trying to lecture us on who the rowdy, you know, disgusting, like people want to fight you fans are, you know, over there. But okay.
All right, White Sox. All right, Colts, Rams. Rams favored by 3.5. In L.A., 49.5 over under. Aaron, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game here. I mean, the Colts have looked really, really good coming in here, really dynamic on offense. Daniel Jones has been revived. The run game has looked great. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, and the Rams coming off that tough, heartbreaking loss. I'm going to go with the Rams here at home. I just think right now that the Rams front four, they're going to be able to slow down this run attack of the Colts and pit the pressure and make Daniel Jones be the guy that kind of beats them here. Daniel Jones had a great start to this year, but he really hasn't had those moments without the run game. And I think if they can keep Stafford standing upright, I think Devontae Adams in the pass game can get going. I like the Rams' balance as well. I think it's a bounce-back spot for the Rams, so I'm going to take the Rams at home to cover and give the Colts their first loss on the season.
Nice. Wes?
Yeah, this is another one of those games I hate. I really don't like this game at all. The Colts, obviously, you know, going almost all the way across the country here. The Rams end off the heartbreaking loss to Philly. Rams have a great defense. My number one lean, and I'm probably not going to play this game either way, but my number one lean would be the over. I do think there's a lot of points here. The Colts have been putting up a lot of points. I used to call him Danny Pesos, first of all. That was my nickname for him back in the day. Then he became Danny Dimes. Now he's Danny Dollars. By the way, they call him Indiana Jones. Now, they're officially playing the Indiana Jones theme song every time he throws a touchdown pass at Lucas Oil Stadium, which I thought was interesting. But
it'd be interesting if they start playing that at Disneyland this weekend if he throws a couple TDs.
Yeah, right. But my first lean would be over, and I want to take the Rams so bad, but I'm not going to do it. I'm actually going to take the Colts and the points. I don't want to believe in them, but I kind of think I have to. They just have such a good running game. I love Jonathan Taylor. Decent defense. I know that Broncos game was pretty high scoring, and I know they haven't played anyone. They played the Dolphins, who were terrible. They played the Titans, who were terrible. But I just have a sneaky feeling they're going to hang tough here. Maybe the Rams win by a field goal, Colts cover by the hook, and the game goes over. Give me the Colts against the spread, but I like the over in the game.
Jason?
I'm, for one, shocked Aaron didn't ride with his guy Steichen.
I know.
You know, I just
bounced off really quickly.
I didn't see it coming.
It was tough, man.
No loyalty. No loyalty.
I'm the only one that's been riding their bandwagon these first 3 weeks all year, man.
You are, which is shocking. I thought I was going to be the contrarian taking the Rams.
You got to know when the ride's good to get off sometimes. I think you got to get off the bus this week and stop at Disneyland because they're going to be playing not some Daniel Jones, Indiana Jones music.
Well, that's the way I was leaning. I was leading the Rams. You can't tell me how pissed off this Rams team is going to be after losing the game the way they did last week. And now, you know, look at who the Colts have played so far in their first, you know, three games right now. Two of them that they blew teams out against was a Dolphins team that's going to fire their head coach and a Titans team who's probably going to fire their head coach. Their best win so far is against Aaron's other guy, Sean Payton, in the AT Bowl that we had in week two, and that was a tight game. Maybe Daniel Jones's best performance against a really competitive defense. However, this Rams team is a lot better than any of these three teams they played so far this year. I think it's a little too much for them. I think the Rams are going to get after it. I'll take the Rams -3.5.
I'm taking the Rams as well, but if there's a game that I won't be surprised if it goes the other way, it's this one. This is going to tell us a lot how Colts, like how good they are, how good Daniel Jones is. Taylor's a monster. Their defense, not great, but they have monster players in there. They just go after it. I think it's going to go over. I kind of like your play, Wes, on this one. It could be a shootout. The Rams, though, they've surprised me so far this season. And it's either a close one as a shootout or it's a close one in a tight game. The 3.5 is really tricky. I barely got the Rams winning by 3. But maybe the Colts are due, man. It's midnight. Cinderella run is over. I think they're going to have a great season, but it's time for them to lose one. They can't go 4-0. Rams get a revenge victory from a tough loss last week. Bears, Raiders, a pick 'em, 47.5 over under, 125 slot on Sunday. Aaron, you go first.
Yeah, this is going to be a close game. I mean, it is a pick 'em here. I mean, as far as totals, this is one of my better totals. I like the over here. I think the Bears Raiders over 47.5 is a good play here, a solid play. I'm going to ride with Jason's Bears, though. I think coming in off a little momentum coming off that nice win there against the Cowboys. I think Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams kind of ride that wave in here. Does worry me. Caleb Williams comes in, career record 1-8. The only road win was a meaningless win last year against the Packers when they played their second string guys. So Caleb Williams really has not won a game on the road against a first team unit. Raiders are in a desperate spot. They need to win the game here. But I just think Ben Johnson, the offensive weapons they have, they lead a late drive. I like the Bears to get a late score and win this game outright. So I'm going to take the Bears here to win.
Jason.
I thought you were saving me for last in this one, Brum, but this is a laughable spread. You're going to take this into a pick'em game, all right? You know, and don't think I wasn't listening last week when you guys did the spread and Aaron picked the Cowboys to beat the Bears. And Rome, you said the Bears were winning, but it was going to be close, all right? It wasn't close. It wasn't even close in this game, all right? Where the Bears are weak is in their front seven, and that was evident against the Lions, or I'm sorry, against the Cowboys. Well, Lions, it was really evident, but the Cowboys with Javonte Williams, and they got the turnovers to boot. Now, we talked about this in the recap game. The Raiders offensive line, maybe the worst run offensive line in the league. Ashton Jenkins has every rushing yards is after contact at this point. So the biggest way you can expose the Bears right now is in the running game, and I don't think this offensive line can do it either. So give me the Bears on this. I'm not going to say they're going to blow them out by any means, because I think the Bears defense has got a lot of questions in the secondary too, but I think they found the rhythm of what they need to do. I don't think the Raiders' defense is overly great, but the biggest liability that the Bears have is a defensive line, and the Raiders can't counter that in this game. So the Raiders' defense overall, too, what are they, like 24th ranked in the NFL, too? So this is prime where the Bears can take advantage of it. So give me the Bears.
Sniper West.
Yeah, you know, I got to roll with Jason here, man. I like the Bears, too. Actually, first of all, I love Aaron's lean on the over. I love the over in this game as well. The Bears, actually, typically they don't travel well, but I do think they're going to do well offensively here in this game. The Raiders just aren't that good, man. I don't know. I've been watching every single Raiders game, and Geno Smith just looks awful. He does not look that good. I thought he was going to have a really good year, too, because, in fact, I didn't bet it, but a lot of my friends, they were telling me, because he plays in a dome, anytime Geno Smith in a dome, he has great statistical numbers, right? And all his outdoor games were early this year. So everyone's like, oh, he's going to go way over on yardage and the Raiders are going to be really good. I haven't seen it so far. But the Bears, they do put up 20 points in every single game. They look great against the Cowboys. Last week, I get the Cowboys defense is terrible. But I think they play well here. I think they win this game, and I think this game goes over. I think it's a high-scoring game. But yeah, give me the Bears. I think that they get another win.
Nice. I think this is like one of the few clean sweeps. I'm going to go with the Bears again, back-to-back wins. It is in Las Vegas. Raiders need this badly, though. But with the porous run defense of Chicago and Jenty being on my fantasy team, I really need him to show out and have a blowout performance to justify that number 6 pick, because they passed a lot of good people that they could have put on their O-line specifically. So Jenty, I think like the stat is out of his 146 yards so far, 145 is after contact. This guy's getting hit in the backfield 5 yards deep. It's amazing that he still muddles in the 60, 65 yards he gets per game. Geno Smith, statistically, he looks good when you look at his stats for the year. We were actually talking about a lot last week, Wes, where I think Geno might be done just like Russell Wilson. These guys have countered, saying he's got a little more left in the tank. He did show up again in the fourth quarter. This will be a shootout. I'm pretty positive of that. the over is going to be way over. This is going to be like a 32-35 game. Just no defense. Actually, I don't even know how the Raiders even score that much, but I'm just going to put it out there. Hopefully it's an entertaining game. I will be watching this, but I got the Bears in this. Raiders have no reason to win any close games like this. They're just not good enough. Ravens, Chiefs. Ravens here by 2.5, visiting the Kansas City Chiefs, over under 48.5. Wes, we'll let you go first.
So it's pretty crazy. The loser of this game is 1-3. And who would have thought
that the
Chiefs would be 1-3, right? So pretty surprising. If you remember last year, though, so the Ravens and the Chiefs, I think it was the Thursday night opener, and the Ravens lost to the Chiefs. That they called it toe gate. Remember the guys?
Yeah, I remember that. Likely a toe out.
Yes. So they lost that game. And then what happened? They went home and lost to the Raiders at home as like a 12-point favorite. So my point in saying that is the Ravens are used to digging out of a hole. The Chiefs are not. The Chiefs had to fight for the playoff life. They had to beat the Giants just to go 1-2, right? So you have two teams that are not doing very well, but the Chiefs are just not used to being in this position. Patrick Mahomes is the leading rusher on the Kansas City Chiefs right now. That does not bode well for them at all. I like the Ravens here, man. And it's kind of tough after what I saw last week and Derrick Henry fumbling and Lamar getting sacked over and over. They have offensive line issues, and it's tough to go against Kansas City, and it's tough to take Baltimore too. It's a really tough game, but I got to lean Baltimore right here, man. The Chiefs just look like they are not the same Chiefs of old. So yeah, give me Baltimore -2.5.
Jason.
Yeah. When Aaron first sent the spread in this game, like, I thought it was a trick because to me, I feel Baltimore can score at will. And as long as Derrick Henry doesn't put the ball on the ground in a clean, you know, moment in the fourth quarter, this team's probably close to 3-0 potentially at a certain point right now. And so they're scored at what they score like 41, 40 and 38 so far this year, something like that. Offensively, the Chiefs just struggle just to, you know, to get anything going offensively. And as good as their defense has been in the past couple of years to keep its games close, even at 2.5, I feel like the Ravens just have the ability to score in multiple different dimensions, and that the Chiefs, you just don't see it right now of what Mahomes could do, running for his life and just trying to keep the game close. I feel like the Ravens are an easy winner, -2.5 on this one.
Nice. Aaron.
Looks like I'm going to be the lone wolf on this one. I'm going to take the Chiefs here at home. I mean, how many times are you going to get Patrick Mahomes as a home underdog? They're coming off a win. They did not look good in that game, but in the second half, I thought they looked good offensively. They kind of figured out some things. He's got a connection now with Thornton. And, you know, you guys mentioned it. Baltimore's offensive line isn't very good, but the key thing here for me is Baltimore's missing two of their better defensive linemen up front. Detroit ran for over 200 yards against them. For the first time in 4 years, they didn't get a sack on Jared Goff. As Wes mentioned, Mahomes leads the Chiefs in rushing. That means he's getting out of the pocket. He's running. Xavier Worthy is supposed to be back in this game. You got Brown. You got Thornton. I like the Chiefs to win outright here as a home dog. So give me KC. I think that defense can keep it close, and Mahomes' late magic gets it done.
Nice. Yeah, it's tough to go against the Chiefs, especially when they're already facing some dire situations here. But I just don't see the Ravens dipping that far low. I still think they're one of the better teams in the league, and they desperately need a bounce back game. I think Derrick Henry tucks his elbow in, protects that ball a little bit more, and he gets 150 yards plus 2 TDs in this game. I'm going to go on the under on this one. That would be my lean on that, just because it's in KC and ugly games exist in KC. They're all ugly. Ravens, I got them to win by a field goal, but it should be a dogfight because 1-3, nobody wants to be in that situation. And you're pretty much shit out of luck in both of those divisions, in those tough divisions.
I think Baltimore can afford to lose this game, given that Joe Burrow's out for Cincinnati. The Steelers aren't very good in the Browns. For me, Baltimore has no worry losing this game. If the Chargers go to 4-0, KC cannot afford to go to 1-3 if they have any chance to win this division. So I
do agree with that.
I think Baltimore, the game could go either way, but I think Baltimore losing it would only still be a game behind in the division. And I still think they come back and win that one if they stay healthy the way they are.
That's fair. Fair, valid points. Next game, we have Packers, Aaron's Green Bay Packers against the Dallas Cowboys. 6.5-point favorites, 47.5 over under. This is a Sunday night game, America's game of the week. Aaron, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, you got Micah coming back to Dallas after getting just that surprise trade that basically happened a few weeks before the season started. It might have even happened when we were down there at Circa that weekend, something around that time. But, I mean, look at the Packers. You know, we mentioned it before, some teams looking ahead of some teams and games, you know, coming off that nice Thursday night blowout win against Washington. You know, kind of the talk in the locker room was, you know, maybe we can go undefeated, maybe we can run the table. Did not look good offensively. This is still an elite defense. No CeeDee Lamb playing. Dallas has some offensive line issues. And if you want to get right, you play this Cowboys defense because, you know, they made Russell Wilson look like a Hall of Famer like we were discussing about earlier in the show. You know,
it was great.
Caleb Williams looked great. You know, the only guy that really didn't have to do much against them was Jalen Hurts, and they still won that game. That's what Philly does. They win ugly football games. I think the Packers defense is really, really good. Offensively, they're going to bounce back here. So I'm going to take the Packers -6.5 to beat Dallas by at least 10 points. I like them to win by double digits here.
Nice. By the way, while Caleb was taking random strays from Aaron, Jason's eyes blinked like 20 times right after that. Wes, who you got?
So my number one bet of the week is I already got a bunch of money down on the over. I'm probably going to hit it again at 47.5. I love the over in this game. I think there's at least 50 some odd points in this game between both teams. And a lot of that is because I think the Packers are going to score a ton of points. I think it's like a 35-21, 35-24 Packers win. Obviously, and it's funny because Dallas is 1-2 to the under on the season. You'd think with that defense, really, they're 1-2 to the under. They actually are. Their defense gives up 400 yards a game and 30 points a game. They would be 0-3 if it weren't for that miracle finish against the Giants. But no CeeDee Lamb. That's the only concern I have for the over is no CeeDee Lamb. But I still think Dallas is going to put up points here. That Packers defense is very good. I think Dallas does get theirs, but and the Packers are ticked, man. Coming off that Cleveland loss, they're going to come in here. In fact, I love the Packers team total. I think the team total is over like 27.5. I really like that too. I actually might bet that because I think they're going to score a lot of points. So I love the over. I love the Packers team total over. Love the Packers minus the points. I think it's going to be just bloody murder on Sunday Night Football, and the Packers run away with it. And there's a lot of points on both sides.
Bloody murder on Sunday night. Love it. Jason.
Yeah, man, that Cowboys defense, not great. Not great. You know, I as much as Aaron wants to take shots at Caleb on this, but yeah, there's just wide open holes everywhere. They were, I don't even know the last time the Bears didn't have a sack against one of their quarterbacks in the last 40 years that I've watched Bears football, but it didn't happen last week. I think Caleb had like a brand new jersey on when that game was over with. So I think the Packers, the way to get Jordan Love right now is to be able to have him to throw to all these different wide receivers. Jacobs potentially have a big game. I agree with Wes. You know, you're looking at 35 plus points by from the Packers alone in this game. The Cowboys, how they get points will be interesting. The Packers defense is no slouch either. I don't think it's a bet play, but if you're looking for fantasy, if you got Jake Ferguson tight end for the Cowboys, I think he's probably going to have like 8 catches or something like that because Dak is only looking for him from a check down perspective anytime he gets in trouble. George Pickens, you know, maybe in line for a catch or two, but there's also a drop or two in there. Do you see Tolbert or somebody step up to a degree? It's a lot of points, but I think the Packers could easily cover that and agree with Wes that you're looking for a shootout in the over on this one.
Nice. Another unanimous decision. Packers going to come in really hot. The Packers are going to bring the Big D to Big D and stuff the shit out of the Cowboys and sack the shit out of Dak. Dak has done pretty well so far this year. I think he's done hell just as good, if not better, than any other year. I've actually admired how well he's played underneath the circumstances because he has no help. Just because they have Dak, I do think they will score at least a couple touchdowns. Maybe, 25-35. But Jordan Love's going to spread the love all around. They're going to rack up the points. They're going to show America who's really America's team this season. Packers all the way.
They could, the Cowboys could have beat the Eagles. They so easily could have beat the Eagles in that game. With CD was just dropping those passes, man. He hit him right in the breadbasket, right in the red zone with, I think, like right under 2 minutes remaining. They could have easily won that game. And it just
not only that, you had that Miles Sanders fumble inside the 22 that really hurt them. They were going in to score. So, yeah.
Cowboys are not losing because of Dak. He's had a pretty good year. He's definitely up in my book. All right. We go, is it two Monday night games again?
Yeah, two Monday nights.
I don't like it. I don't like the two Monday night games.
Well, here's what I don't
like. I like two Monday night games. I just don't like these four teams playing on Monday night. That's the problem.
There's that. I agree with that. I don't like the scheduling. They did it in week two. They did it in week two. They did a game at, I think it was 7 Eastern.
4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they made them 3 hours apart, so you can watch the whole games. This one, they're doing them an hour apart, so they're going the same time. So, you know.
Well, I think they realized no one wants to watch the Jets Dolphins, so they just figured they'd give us a little matinee early and they get us onto the main premium show.
Wes, we'll let you go first on this one since you're so excited to talk about this. Jets getting 2.5 points at the Dolphins.
Okay. Well, we'll go 2.5. I mean, there are threes out there. I love the Jets at 3. I really do. I really like the Jets a lot at 3. I mean, if we have to do 2.5 for, you know, the circa numbers, that's fine. I'll do 2.5. But I'm just, for the viewers, there are threes out there, so you can get threes, okay? But, so the Jets are on a 2-game Florida trip, right? So they were just in Tampa. I don't know if they stayed in Florida or if they just went back to New York and did their normal thing and then they're going back to Miami. I'm not sure. Maybe you guys know. I don't know. Anyway, but Miami's 0-3. They finally did look good offensively last week. But here's the deal. I mean, McDaniel, he's probably going to be fired if they lose this game. So they will be up for this game. I just think the Jets are in the same situation. And I think Aaron Glenn is going to be a really good head coach. They could have beat the Steelers. They maybe could have beat the Buccaneers. That was a little bit of a stretch. Also, too, I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know. Justin Fields, he was in concussion protocol. I don't know if it's him or Tyrod. I don't care. I don't care who plays quarterback for the Jets. I still like the Jets no matter who's the quarterback here. I just kind of think the Dolphins are broken and they're looking for answers. And I think the Jets hang tough. I love them at 3. I'll take them at 2.5 for our contest here. But one more thing I wanted to say with McDaniel, and you guys probably agree with this. There are coaches that are not. There are head coaches in the NFL that should not be head coaches. They should be coordinators, a.k.a. Mike McDaniel, a.k.a. Eberflus. Eberflus shouldn't even be a defensive coordinator. He shouldn't be even.
He should be a position coach.
but Ahmed Salah, like Salah, right, the Niners defensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator. He's not head coach material. Vic Fangio, great defensive coordinator, not head coach material. Vance Joseph for the Broncos. There's all these guys that are great coordinators, and they get promoted to the head coach role, and they don't do well. They just don't have it in their DNA. And McDaniel was one of those dudes. He's just not a leader of men. Like Dan Campbell is a leader of men. That guy will get your juices flowing. He will talk to you, and he will get you pumped up, and you will run through a wall for him. But he's not an X's and O's guy. If you try to recite a play to him or talk about him, you know, like
All he knows is Applebee's. Give me 3-piece Applebee's, fucking 80,000 combinations.
There's head coaches and there's coordinators, and teams need to learn who they are. That's my beef for tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Jets plus 3. McDaniel maybe gets fired if they lose this one. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, if he does lose this one, he's going to get fired. So, I mean, it comes down to, do the Dolphins want him fired, or are they going to come out like they did against Buffalo and play inspired?
They played really good against Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not high on the Jets. I mean, the Jets had 6 points going in the fourth quarter against Tampa Bay. I mean, the Dolphins defense isn't good at all. I mean, Josh Allen was basically just, you know, on easy mode and scored 31 points against them last week. But, you know, as Jason's pointed out, Miami in September, it's tough. They play tough at home. They usually play well. They could have easily beaten the Patriots if it wasn't for a late 2 interception and a kick return special teams by the Patriots. I'm going to go with the Dolphins here. They got to win a game, but agree, if they don't win, show the door to McDaniels. He's out. He'll be canned after this one. So I think Miami's still Tyreek Hill and these guys that get up. Tua's a good guy. I think he wants his coach to stay around. It's one of the few guys that's actually believed in him and got him playing at the level he is.
Yeah.
So I'll say the Dolphins. I mean, if you could get to the Jets at 3, I would take it. 2.5 here. I would take the Dolphins. I think it's probably a 3-point win. So I'll go Dolphins minus 2.5.
Jason.
Well, I am the big weather guy about Miami in September, as Aaron pointed out, but this is a night game, Aaron, and it's Monday night in Miami.
It's still muggy, still humid out there, man.
And Wes thinks Aaron Glenn could be a good head coach. Aaron, you don't think Aaron Glenn's going to be that good of a head coach. So you're on the opposite take of that. McDaniel, I had high hopes for him early on. I think he was bringing new, fresh life into the Dolphins when he came down there. The offense was like, you know, he was trying to make the greatest show on turf all over again. They scored like 70 points against the Broncos or something. But we've seen the flashes since then. There's just been nothing there. And I think culturally that's going on within that organization, the vibes for the entire training camp and even opposing teams that they were going against in the preseason were saying this team's lost, and the Tyreek situation and everything else going on there, just too many distractions. If you're going to have this game potentially going to be raining, if the forecast in Miami is correct, although it's always raining in Miami if you're going there, the Jets team can run the ball. They got two good running backs, and if Justin Fields is playing, he's going to run too. As much as I've liked Miami in certain spots of the year, I don't like them here. I'm going to take the Jets as well.
This is a tough one. This would be a stay away for me just because I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm not sure if Mike McDaniel gets fired after this one, but I do definitely think he gets fired in the next few weeks. Jets, I do like their head coach. Is Fields playing in this one? Do we like know that for sure or not?
I think Fields is probably going to play.
How good do you think the Dolphins D is?
It's not good.
Not good. One of the worst secondaries probably in the league.
They got Storm Doug, right? That's their number one corner.
Yep.
How good is the Jets D?
Better.
But they got, they just lost, Quincy Williams out for the season, right? Or an IR. He's out. And Sauce Gardner's been kind of banged up. So,
yeah. This is a pick.
I'll let you know too. So as of 12 hours ago, Fields is practicing, and if he clears concussion protocol, he will play. If he clears,
man, this is a pick. If there ever was one, more so than the Bears and Raiders. I don't like this game at all. This is ugly. I will probably miss this game on Monday night. I kind of have to think that this might be on the under as well, under the 45. I'm just going to go with the Jets, though. I don't know. I like their team better overall. Dolphins are a mess. Mike McDaniel, dude, this guy looks like he's been doing coke for 2 weeks straight. He's pale. He hasn't shaved in weeks. He looks really exhausted. If he doesn't go to one of Tyreek Hill's, you know, baby mamas or a massage parlor to release some of that stress, I think he's just going to self-implode himself. Just because that, just a more composure on the Jets side. I think they've done okay in the games that they've been in. They haven't looked great, but I do think there's more upside on the Jets. I'm reluctantly taking the Jets.
So are we
saying is he's doing lines on a Thursday night too? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So question. So three of us are taking the Jets, which I'm very surprised by that, number one. Number two, are we taking them at 2.5 or 3? Because that's kind of a big deal.
2.5.
Is that
Aaron stuck on his circa?
I'll take him at 2.5. I mean, I hate it. I'd rather get 3.
Yeah,
there are 3s out there, but if we have to do 2.5, I'll do it.
All right. Final game Monday night: Bengals and Broncos. Broncos here by 7.5. That seems like a lot. 44.5 over under. Jason, you go first.
I don't like this game at all. I think you could talk me into either way at 7.5 right now. I've been waiting for Aaron's guy, Sean Payton, to get Bo Nix into gear right here. I was expecting the most pro-ready quarterback of the 2024 draft and Sean Payton's guy and everything that's going to happen. He's going to take it to the next level in year two.
Who did Aaron call him for? He called him Drew Brees, the second coming.
Drew Brees 2.0, man.
Yeah,
very 2.0. Accurate quarterback, man.
All right, well, right now, that's not the case. I don't know what I'm seeing for Bo Nix so far. The Broncos should definitely win this game, so I'll pick them to win this game. But 7.5 is a lot of points. Now, the Bengals defense, obviously one of the worst in football, has been for, you know, pretty much the entire era. We just play Joe Burrow and, you know, two great wide receivers at all. But you heard all this talk going into last week of how Browning was going to be, and, man, they weren't even close against a decent really good Vikings defense. I would do the Rome stay away on this, but I really think the Broncos got to start taking a leap right here. I'll take the Broncos minus 7.5.
Wow. Wes.
Well, Aaron has the Pete Rose jersey right behind him. So
yeah,
I got to roll Cincinnati just because of that. Right. That's really my only reasoning. I got no other. None. I'm just kidding.
As good as reason as any, Wes.
No, I do have reasoning. I actually do like the Bengals plus 7.5. So obviously they got embarrassed by the Vikings, and very similar to the Falcons. Nothing will motivate an NFL team more than embarrassment. Jake Browning looked terrible. Pick sixes, fumbles, not very good. I think he just maybe needs another week of practice with the ones, right? Denver's 1-2. They probably should be 2-1 if it weren't for that terrible special teams penalty against the Colts in week two. I was very high on the Broncos coming into this year. I thought they could win this division. It's looking like the Chargers are going to win this division. And their defense is really disappointing, to be honest with you. I mean, they gave up a ton of points to the Colts, so they were supposed to be the number one defense in the NFL, and obviously Cleveland is now, but I think they're like middle of the pack. They're not even really that good defensively. You're giving me 7 in the hook. It's more of a feel thing here. I kind of almost want to take the Broncos, but they call it the never figure league. It's the NFL, because you never figure Cincinnati would go in and like almost win the game but lose by 3, right? It's just one of last game on the board. The public is hammering. They're all down. They're hammering the Broncos. Oh, the Broncos are going to blow them out. As Lee Corso used to say, not so fast, my friend, right? So give me 7.5 in the Bengals. It's ugly, but I like them to stay inside the number.
I love that. The never figure out league. That's really great. That makes a lot. That definitely implied last year, any given Sunday. Aaron, what are your thoughts, man? You look a little stressed out right now.
No, I mean, both guys are on the Bengals. Was that right? No,
Jason got split. Broncos.
We're split.
Okay. Yeah. So I got a feeling this is going to be split across the board because I already know what side Rome's going to take. So I want to take the Bengals here, but I don't trust Jake Browning. And Wes mentioned Denver's defense. They're aggressive. They blitz a lot. They got great corners on the outside, but Cincinnati has great wide receivers on the outside. I really love the over 44.5 because when you play man-to-man and blitz, I think Ja'Marr Chase and those guys can break a few big plays. And Cincinnati's defense is bad. I think Sean Payton's put too much pressure on Bo Nix. They got to get the run game going. I think they do here. I think it's a cover here by the Broncos. I think it's a pick six again. Jake Browning's good for at least 2-3 turnovers. It's tough to cover on the road against a team, regardless of how they've been playing. I think the Broncos, they've been just missing some big plays in the passing game, like Bo Nix. I mean, he's hit Sutton for a couple, but he's missed him for a few too. I think it's a high scoring game, but I'm going to take the Broncos to win here. I'll say they win like 31-23, high scoring game. I like the Broncos to cover. I want to take Cincinnati. I just don't trust Jake Browning in the spot.
Yeah, this would be a stay away for me. I think it could go either way. I want to think a lot of people like Browning. They like his arm. They like his talent. He got to get his wide receivers fed, and they want to be fed this weekend. Denver was a better defensive team last year. They're still middle of the pack right now. I think they're ranked like 16 or 17, something like that. They've been bending, slightly breaking. I do expect a little bounce back week, but just 7.5 points is a lot, even in the Mile High City. Just with 7.5 points, I'm going to have to take the points. I think Broncos still win, but Bengals at least cover. Browning has a decent enough game, maybe 3 touchdowns, 1 or 2 interceptions at that, the last one that costs them the game, and Broncos run away with the victory. They win by 4 points. Broncos, but I'll take the Bengals with the points. All right, that does it for week 4 NFL lines. How are you guys feeling going into the weekend with that?
I feel great. A question for you though. What's your guys' records? You guys have been doing this 3 weeks, so who's in the lead? What are we looking at here?
That's hilarious. Yeah, let me pull it up right now. Cuz against the spread, it's actually pretty tough. If it's like the stayaways, I usually have these guys were making fun of me from last year, because I have like a lot of stayaways. And I only bet on the games that I feel pretty good on, but I guess the over-under is like 5 or 6 games that I stay away from.
Basically, we're below 500 right now.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. It's hard, man. It's hard.
No, because I think I'm 20-25, and these two are 21-24.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, literally, yeah. We've gone either 6-9 or 7-8 every week. But yeah, like you said, we're pinning every game. I mean, there's a lot of stay away games for sure, but yeah, we just pick every season. Game.
That's why you can't bet every game on the board.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you can't. Yeah, that's why we're kind of just calling it the, you know, it's a fun contest all throughout. See how it makes it. I finally had my first above 500 week last week at 8-7, and that barely put me up tied with Jason at 21-24. But yeah, I was 6-9 the first week. Jason was 6-9 the second week. Aaron was 6-9 this past week. So it's a hell of a game to be playing. And we don't count the Thursday night game. We just usually record afterwards. So,
well, yeah, being that you do your Thursday night show after that game. I mean,
yeah,
I'll tell you, I would have been on the Seahawks money line. Well, I was. You could always
say
that.
I like the Seahawks too. So
yeah, for sure. Good question. What do you think your record would be if you're doing against the spread?
I'd probably be with you. I'd be lucky if I were 500. If I were betting every single game, it's just so tough. There's so much parity, man. The NFL, it's like a soap opera, man. It's like Days of Our Life. It's you never fit. They call it the Never Figure League. Never.
Why would you think you've? Yeah, when you think you have the answer, that's when it punches you right in the face. Like, nope, not this week.
Injuries. Yeah, I mean, injuries are just tough to figure out.
I mean, if somebody would have came to me last week and said that the Panthers were going to beat the Falcons 30-0, I would have laughed at them.
I would have put.
I would have laughed at them and said,
I sold my house.
Dude, just get out of here. Go back to the bar you came from and have another one.
Yeah,
and it happens. So. One of those things happen every week too that you never figure.
Yeah, I think I know which. I got one or two games I have in mind that might happen. So we'll see how it goes. We want to thank you, Wes, for joining us. Let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah, anytime, fellas. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Actually, it's kind of cool too because I get to hear your takes, and it kind of helps me maybe with some angles and stuff with last minute stuff I want to bet. So it helps me out too. So I appreciate you having me on.
Sweet, man. Yeah, we really appreciate it. We'll tag you. We'll try to get some clips out there as well.
Yeah, send it to my. We'll put it out there. I'll put it on my Twitter. I have like 500 followers, so I'll get it out there for you.
Nice, beautiful. All right. Well, that'll do it. Source from the Sofa. Week 4 NFL lines in the books. Be sure to follow us on the socials. Look out for some clips on some YouTube. We'll be back with the recap Sunday night. Me and Jason, we are out.